Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Give it to me.
Oh, hello, everyone. It is I, Molly Wood.
And it is I, Tom Merritt.
And it is a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing is back.
Although we haven't been gone to people who subscribe because we pre-recorded.
But I know, feel like we have been gone for a month. I have so many pent-up things. We had lists miles long.
I know, seriously. I had to weed my list.
I know. Yeah. I was like trying not to tweet. We have been futilely trend spotting low these many days, just with nowhere to put it, just shouting into the ether about how things were definitely a thing. I felt like I was caching trends.
You know, like I was just like stockpiling, like a hoarder.
Well, see, and then I was irritated because I had identified a thing early on in our two vacations that then has been written about since, you know? Mm. Like, I hate it when you see the thing. You're right. Like, come on, it's a thing. Oh, I know it's a thing. And then stop writing about it right now.
I thought of it first.
Just wait for me.
I mean, it's validating, but you want to be on record having noticed it, right? That's the
thing. Exactly. It's all about credit. It's all about credit.
Credit is the thing. The Uber thing.
Credit is the Uber thing.
well, as you may have realized in listening to the shows, we both had vacations in Hawaii. Not trying to brag. It was very nice. I feel very lucky that I was able to go. Mine was with it was a family vacation. It was very pleasant. But my first thing is directly as a result of that. So I am now writing off that vacation as research.
He's still tan, and that's where he picked out his thing.
It started as a joke when we were driving from the airport to the Airbnb that we had, and I noticed, I don't know, half a dozen silver Jeeps on the road. And I turned to my wife, Eileen, and I was just like, did you see all these silver Jeeps? Like, remember, like, is that the new thing? And I say remember because Eileen is the one who said, she's like, remember when we've been here before, it was Mustangs. And so it must have changed from Mustangs to silver Jeeps. So the whole week, I decided to start saying silver Jeep every time I saw a silver Jeep, thinking like, it probably won't be that much. I probably just, you know, I saw a lot of them at once, ran. No, man, every drive, multiple silver Jeeps, sometimes two in a row, like they were everywhere. And so I started to take photos midway through my vacation of parked silver Jeeps when I was walking around.
Okay. And so so many things are hilarious about this. One is that I try to go to Hawaii around the same time, this time of year, every year. I have it like a tradition with a girlfriend because it's whale season in Maui. Mm-hmm. And so we really like to go and see the whales, and it's a whole thing.
Saw some whales. It was good.
And we love the Jeep. Like, we always rent a Jeep, and that's a thing for us, is always to get the Jeep and get the silver Jeep and do the upgrade and figure out the best way to do the upgrade. Like, is it better to book an SUV and upgrade from that, or, you know, and it is a whole conversation every time. And I have had two occasions on which I, you know, rented a Jeep, took the top off, then got stuck in the rain, couldn't get the top back on. Like, the Jeep is a whole hilariously gigantic part of my Hawaii experience every year after year. So much so that I've been like, should I buy one back here? All of that. And this year I was like, and again, Tom and I were there. I was there a week before him. Mm-hmm. And this year during that trip, I was looking around thinking, I don't think we can get this Jeep again. This is like embarrassing. Every car is a Jeep.
And you're right. It's not like I hadn't seen Jeeps before. If you're on Maui, a lot of people want to take the road to Hana. That's a rough road. So a lot of people want Jeeps, you know, so that they can get through some of the rougher parts easier. Yeah. But it was just ridiculous how many, and silver particularly. I saw white Jeeps, I saw black Jeeps, I saw red Jeeps, but silver seemed to be the predominant color.
It is the silver one. I mean, it's completely true. And I was like, okay, it's not like I didn't know that this Jeep marked us as tourist girls for sure, but it is now so lousy with Jeeps that I really did think to myself, like, I think next time we should just get something else because there's too many of them. And it's true. The Mustang has dwindled to almost nothing in the Hawaii rental car situation. And the Jeep is at, I will say at least I had a red one, but I don't think that's any better.
Yeah. I'd say black seemed to be, you know, in my informal survey, black seemed to be the second most popular color, like right in there with white, and red was kind of the more unusual one. So you, at least in the Jeep spectrum, were on the rarer end from what I was looking at.
But there's what's...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's super interesting is that I was thinking, is this only a Hawaii thing, when Tom and I were talking about it before this show? And it turns out it's not. It turns out that the Wrangler is a thing. And that, in fact, in 2018, Jeep Wrangler sales set an all-time record. Like, the Jeep is totally back. And so I've been, and I even know some people who bought, I know a couple who bought a Jeep in Oakland, like the Wrangler Unlimited with the four doors. And I was like, well, that's an awesome car. And I thought about buying it, but really? Like, where are you going to, you know, it's a big car and the gas mileage is kind of overkill for a place with no snow. But it does seem to point to the fact that the Wrangler's kind of back.
I absolutely think it is. And I was glad you found that story because it reminded me that my friend Brian Brushwood has a Jeep. We used to tease him because it's almost exactly the same model that was on the Gilmore Girls.
Nice.
And when he came into town and we met up with a mutual friend, Katie Dierks, who's a producer for the Jeffrey Show, she had a Jeep. And these two just started geeking out about Jeeps with each other. And, you know, I was left out of the conversation because I don't own a Jeep. And we rented a Chevy Cruze. I haven't even driven a Jeep, really. and yet it was anthropologically fascinating to just hear them geeking out and have such a good time about the Jeeps. But at the time, I thought, like, oh, this is like a subculture. There's millions of subcultures out there. And they're the part of the Jeep subculture. But I think it's more than a subculture now.
I think it is now, and I wonder if, I wish we had a Jeep person that we could call up, you know, like a phone-a-friend, because I wonder if they're a little annoyed that the Jeep seems to have gone a lot more mainstream.
Brian. Yeah, I should ask Brian.
Because I have to say, I have a long emotional history with the Jeep Wrangler. Like, when I came to California for the first time, I grew up in the middle of the country, for people who do not know, Montana and North Dakota. And the first time I came to California, I was 14, I think, maybe 13, I think 14 years old, came out here, went to Southern California. And like, I swear to God, the first thing I saw when I came off the plane was like a hella cute blonde girl in a Jeep Wrangler two door with the top off. And I was like, that's going to be my life someday. All I want is that Jeep. It was not the bikini top. It was not the surfboard. I was just like, I want that Jeep so bad. And pretty much then my whole life, my dad was like, you can never get that Jeep because it is a death trap, which it is.
It's not unsafe.
I mean, it certainly was. I don't think those old Wranglers were.
Oh, the old ones. Okay.
Yeah, the old ones were definitely.
The ones without the roll bar.
The ones without the roll bar, like even the ones with the roll bar. My dad was like, nope. No, no chance. But I have just loved it always. And so then the first year that this friend and I went to Hawaii and rented the Jeep, I was like, I've never been happier. I've arrived. And now it's over. It's too much of a thing.
Jeep Wrangler. We've passed peak Jeep.
I think we have. Mm. And our producer, Rich Truffolino, points out that there was probably and has been some pent-up demand because the outgoing model was on this 12-year-old platform. And then also when they released the Unlimited. I'm gonna sort of like duck duck go while we talk, but the Unlimited was the four-door Jeep, so it was still the Wrangler body, but it actually had four doors and you could use it as a family car.
Right
And I think
that's
that
the silver Jeep I saw parked on a street near my house this morning.
Boom. Yep.
By the way, producer Rich also sent us a car and driver link from December 5th. 2019 Jeep Wrangler fares poorly in Euro NCAP crash test. Receives only a 1-star rating.
It is still a death trap. I can't believe it.
Breaking news. This just in from Brian Brushwood. I texted him. I said, the question came up whether Jeep fans are bothered they're getting more popular. He wrote, Currently wearing a Jeep branded hoodie. Normally I hate branded merch, but my love for Jeep is greater.
Wow. He's even rocking the merch. That's amazing.
Yeah. Huh? Randomly rocking the merch, right? Just out of nowhere.
Apparently, the current Jeep Wrangler is the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the year, which I think we can agree must be related to its like absurd new popularity.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? Jeep's a thing.
Not cheap. Not cheap, by the way. Not as cheap as I would have expected. Like they start at, you know, like the Wrangler Sahara starts at almost 40. They start at about 30 and the gas mileage. I mean, you can tell I have looked into this. Like since these Hawaii trips, like maybe I'm just going to get a Jeep.
I spent a week in Maui and never filled the tank.
Yeah, same.
Driving
actually.
A Chevy Cruze.
in a Chevy Cruze. Yeah. You stinker. We used half a tank. We didn't do the whole road to Hana, though.
Yeah. We drove a little bit. We didn't drive a lot, but we drove a little bit. So,
Linux Fiend says there's going to be a new Bronco in 2020 to compete with the Jeep, which I agree with you, Linux Fiend. I also am stoked.
I always associate Broncos with the scandal at the University of Illinois my freshman year about them giving Broncos to basketball recruits to get them to come to play.
Really?
Yeah.
Not OJ? Just
it predated OJ, so OJ, I guess, didn't overwrite it somehow. Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
You're right. It should be OJ.
The Rock Limited. There was in that movie Rampage, so many things are about to happen now that are really embarrassing to me personally. A, I watched that movie Rampage with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Future President The Rock.
B is my boyfriend forever, now and always. And in that movie, he has a concept Bronco. Rampage, concept Bronco. And it is like the coolest Bronco I've ever seen in my life, and I'm like, please make it. I'm finding the link so that I can put it in your. It's a Ford Bronco concept from like 15 years ago. Like, this Bronco is so cool in this car in this movie that I had to go look it up. Like, I was like, what is the deal?
Two main things you can do to support our show: you can back us on Patreon, or you can make them produce this Bronco and buy one for Molly.
Yes, that is totally true.
Yeah,
and you will get all the shout outs. You can choose every topic forever. Like, you can write all the subtitles. It is so cool. It is so cool. You can tell now that I grew up in Montana because I'm down the SUV rabbit hole.
You want to be part of that Jeep subculture. I can tell. Still.
Maybe just a little bit. They're so cool. I don't care if they're a death trap.
That's why they're so popular. All right, we gotta move off the Jeep topic. What else we got?
We do. Speaking of early death, my thing is intermittent fasting. All right, I don't think it's going to surprise any of you to know that intermittent fasting is a thing. Do you know anybody who's doing this?
I don't know anybody. Don't fast constantly. You just fast every so often, I'm assuming from the name.
Yes, exactly. It is, in fact, as evidenced by the name, intermittent. And the way that people do it's like it is the new diet trend. And it's a version. It's almost like an offshoot of the keto trend, which is that you eat so little sugar or carbohydrates that you literally send your body into ketosis, which is a syndrome. It's a situation, basically, where your body starts consuming its own fat to survive.
Right.
I am familiar with ketosis because it is what happens when type 1 diabetics like my mom and my good friend Lindsay almost die.
Yeah. It's also what my friend who is a nutritionist has said is you don't want to get a disease to get healthier. That's not a good way to go.
Right. Like, it's not a good... I'm not feeling that. But anyway, intermittent fasting can lead to ketosis, and obviously people think weight loss and they think there's all these health benefits that go along with it. And the intermittence part of it is variable. Like, some people eat 5 days and fast 2 days. Whoa. And then on those 2 days, they can eat no more than 500 calories that day.
Oh, it's Catholic fasting. Okay.
Yeah, right. It's just fish.
When I was growing up, you'd have to fast on Fridays during Lent, which meant you could have two meals as long as they didn't together equal a single meal.
Oh, hilarious.
So it kind of sounds like the same thing.
Well, it is if you do that 5-2 thing, mm-hmm. where it's certain days of the week. There's also what I know a lot of people who, I don't know a lot, but I know a few people who are doing that. I think the more common one, which is where you only eat during 1 6-hour period or 1 3-hour period.
Every day.
And so you limit, every day. So you fast 16 to 18 hours a day and you eat all your meals between, let's say, 4 and 8. Or 4 and 10, or 2 and 10, which really a lot of people who skip breakfast are kind of right. doing that.
That's, I guess, now that you put it 2 and 6 or 2, that can kind of be a late lunch and early dinner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't, that one doesn't seem.
Just eat constantly for 4 hours.
That hard, right? Just eat the whole time, I guess.
I ate 3,000 calories, but it was only between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But the other, so people think that it works because it's a little bit like keto. It can send your body into ketosis where you consume you basically like put your cells under stress and then they consume themselves for to live. But also, and I mean, I've actually heard this a lot over the years that people who have calorie restrictions can have lower inflammation. And can fight off diseases better.
Yeah, no, that is a well-proven scientific fact that if you have low-calorie diets, reduce your intake, it tends to extend your life and reduces inflammation and all those things. I could see there being a scientific, and I'm not saying there is, but I could see there being a scientific basis for intermittent fasting to a certain point that says this mimics the way the human body used to get food because we didn't have food all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You'd hunt some days and gather, and you might have a little bit of food every day, but not a lot. And so your intake might have been variable, and the human body may be adapted to that. So the idea of fasting every so often, and fasting in a 500 calorie way, not a fasting in a don't eat at all way,
right.
I could see where that might bear out and not be damaging. Sending your body into ketosis is probably not a good idea. It stresses your body. You know, when you're young, you can deal with it, and it might be a quick way to lose weight. But as I get older and my heart gets weaker, not stressing my body is very important for me.
I am in favor of that.
Yeah, but reducing inflammation sounds like a really good thing, too. So I'd be curious which of these are friendlier to the body. I could see, mm-hmm. like, fasting 2 days out of the week for 500 calories might not have that many damaging side effects, but I'm a big believer in making sure there aren't damaging side effects before you do a diet.
I am too. And so it's interesting because I would say I'm probably more likely to be on board with something like intermittent fasting. I mean, eating 2 or 3 meals in a single 6 or 8 hour period is exactly what I do all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a pretty regimented eater. Like, absurdly large breakfast, not that much lunch, uh-huh. some dinner, and that's it. I'm not a snacker, like I'm not a midnight eater or whatever. But so that
I still,
sound
by
that
the way,
hard.
I still do a cheat day based on whatever diet you were doing in 2008 when we were talking at CNET, and you're like, yeah, and then you do a cheat day. I'm like, what a great idea! I'm doing a cheat day.
The cheat day is the jam. You know who else does a cheat day? The Rock. Just saying. He's my boyfriend.
Right.
And he gets absurd amounts of sushi.
He will pick you up in his concept Jeep Wrangler and take you out for dinner on your cheat day.
Perfect. Sorry, I went into a little daydream.
Yeah,
I literally was like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Interestingly, although I had identified this as a thing earlier, Scientific American did a piece on it on February 2nd. What I find interesting is that in all the little articles about intermittent fasting and whether it works or doesn't work or whatever, whether it has long-term impacts, most people are like, we don't know. Not really sure.
Yeah. Data's not in yet. Okay.
Data's not in yet. It does seem clear that that fasting can actually have some anti-aging and anti-inflammatory. And inflammation is the thing that we as a society, I think, have dramatically underestimated.
Yep.
When it comes to our health, like so many things,
it's related
are actually
to a lot of heart disease for sure. Among
heart
other
disease,
things,
potentially cancer and Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Like they think inflammation might inflammation ultimately is like a sort of a form of what cancer does.
Yep.
Like it's it really is a big deal. And so it's interesting to see, and there are some doctors who are like, no, fasting screws up your metabolism forever. It slows it down because you go into starvation mode and so on and so forth. But I think it's kind of interesting to see doctors sort of like twist themselves up into knots, trying to say that intermittent fasting is not a good idea.
Well, I could see a situation where the reduced calorie could be done in a way that doesn't harm your body, right? Because doctors are not wrong, as much as we want them to be wrong, because, man, this thing really works and I lose so much weight, that starving your body is not good for your health. And anything about losing weight should be about getting healthier, not just about looking better. And as that's a big deal for me. I tried a diet that I think had some negative side effects on me, which is why I'm so insistent on this point.
Oh yeah.
But I do think that there's something to this, that maybe if, you know, you get people who know what they're talking about looking at it, can figure out like, oh yeah, no, if you do 500 calories like once every 7 days, I don't know what it is. I could see there being something that isn't harmful to you that kind of gives you that reduced inflammation side effect of a low-calorie diet.
Right. And then, by the way, the reason you lose weight is because you eat less, which is exactly the – I mean, we eat so much in America. And that – like, the reason that I am sometimes down on fad diets in general is because we have too much money and too much food if we can decide to cut out entire categories of food because we are so privileged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like – we eat so much that we should get rid of an entire... Now, don't get me wrong. Those categories have been perverted by processing. I get that. You know, like everything that we eat in terms of refined sugar, which, by the way, leads to the inflammation that is killing us in all of these different ways, is not what our food was supposed to be. But also, we just eat too much.
Yeah. Well, not even just refined sugar. High fructose corn syrup, too.
Right.
In everything.
And all the crazy hormones and the antibiotics.
And just high amounts of carbohydrates, salt, and sugar.
Sugars. Oh my God, we're such old people right now.
I know. It's hard to eat right.
Yeah.
Mediterranean diet. Mediterranean. It is. It's hard to eat right because it's not easy to find the things that you want that really are what you want, right? Like, okay, have a salad. Have a Mediterranean salad for lunch. Great. You go buy a salad and there's a dressing on it that's got like 200-300 calories in. It's like, wait, hold on. No, now I have to find a salad that doesn't have the dressing. It's like, okay, great. Here's a salad with all of these candied raisins in it. You know what I mean? Like, it should be easy. Like, I know what I need to do. I need to have a Mediterranean salad and I need to have some fish. And then you find out like, oh, well, this fish was actually farm-raised, so it doesn't have the omega-3s that are as good for you as the wild-caught fish. But then the wild-caught fish are being depleted, so you're killing the planet if you buy the wild-caught fish. Like, it's just ridiculous.
I think you may have conflated several things that are hard about this modern life, but you're not wrong about any of them.
Well, now I'm starting to channel The Good Place. No spoilers.
Yeah, stop. I haven't started season 3 yet because I'm still working on The Wire, you guys.
Good luck.
The Wire update.
The Wire into The Good Place, man. That's an interesting transition.
I know. Yeah, that was hardcore. Yeah. I'm on like episode 10 or so of season 2, which the internet assures me is the worst season of them all.
There's no bad seasons, but I guess.
I don't think it's bad, but it's slower. I'm tiring of Ziggy.
That's
all I'm going to say about that.
I feel you.
All right. What's your next thing? What's your next thing?
My next thing is Jomo.
Okay.
Which is not John or Joanne and Molly. It is the joy of missing out. I heard this on the Economist podcast recently in the context of there are people who like to sit in meetings, which that was also news to me, but apparently there are, because they don't want to miss out. Fear of missing out. FOMO, right? Like they want to be in all the meetings because it's like, I don't want to miss anything. I want to keep up to date. But then there are people who have JOMO, which is like, I don't want to know. It just stresses me out. It's a bunch of stuff I don't need to know. I get joy out of missing out. And it's I looked it up. There's a Psychology Today article from last summer titled JOMO, The Joy of Missing Out is the Emotionally Intelligent Antidote to FOMO.
Oh, I love this. It's so interesting, too, because FOMO is not just a, you know, thing that we feel it is a marketing strategy. Like FOMO is the heart of everything that is manipulating us in modern life in so many ways, whether it's commercials, like you got to be as good looking as this person or you'll be missing out, or you have to constantly refresh your feed or you might miss something. You have to be on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook all day long. And so the idea that we could just be like, nope, I'm not doing it and feel joy. Actually, that's hilarious because on Instagram, I've started following this account called Betches.
Uh-huh.
Betches.
Gotcha.
And they're hilarious. And my favorite thing about the Betches feed is how basically they never want to have to go anywhere. Like me on Monday. Yeah, let's totally have dinner on Friday. Me on Friday. I'm wearing my jammies right now. I just don't want to.
Let's just text.
And I'm always like, I love this. Thank you for validating the fact that even though I work at home in my pajamas all day, I still am like, but I'm kind of in my jammies right now. I don't want to go.
Yeah, just because you worked in your jammies all day doesn't mean you didn't work in your jammies.
Yeah. Right?
You're still tired.
Jomo makes me so happy. I love that.
Yeah, the joy of missing out. And I thought The Economist's take on it was really interesting because it was like, these are just two types of people you need for a business. You need the FOMO people who are paying attention and not letting things slip through the cracks. And you need the Jomo people who don't get like over-focused and can get get some perspective on things.
That is really funny and amazing. I love it. I want to start being a Jomo person. I think I kind of am a Jomo person at work, at least, because I keep a sign on my wall that says, not my circus, not my monkeys. And sometimes in meetings, I just look at it to remind myself, like, not taking that on.
I definitely am between there. So I'm probably more on the Jomo side because, man, meetings that go long and waste my time, I'm not okay with. But I do like productive meetings where it's like, okay, give me some information. Keep me up to date. So I've got a little bit of the, like, I do want to know what's going on, but I don't need to know everything. I guess I'm on the Jomo side.
It turns out that Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys, there's also an article in Psychology Today about it.
Oh, really?
Because it is a Polish proverb that people use to reduce, like, depression and probably their fear of missing out because you don't need to take charge of the whole show.
That poster is therapy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely therapy. That's why I bought it.
There's also retail therapy.
Other things that, yes, exactly. Oh, look at that. It's such a joy. It's such a joy to podcast with you.
Thank you.
Because, indeed, likewise. Other things that I have purchased for therapeutic reasons are fancy sneakers. I have become the world's oldest sneakerhead.
Yes, this is now becoming a recurring segment,
I think. A recurring segment, but... So I think I told you guys about how I accidentally bought feminist Jordans recently, right?
You did. That was right around CES time.
Yep, around CES time, exactly. And they were designed in conjunction with Aleli May, who's like a cool... And I said Ali Ali, but it's not. It's Aleli.
Okay.
Okay, but... And as it turns out, I have discovered since then that Jordans for women are becoming an actual thing. Like, they're being more and more of them are being released since then, because the ones I bought were the first retro Jordans to be released in a women's size. And now there's more and more like the and interestingly, a lot of them are the Jordan ones, like the Air Force One or the actual like Jordan One high tops are coming out like for women and in some cases only for women, which I think is super interesting.
So this is continuing coverage of a thing.
Continuing coverage of a thing that is becoming even more of a thing.
Where you who have been with us since the beginning of January can now feel special that you have followed the thing from its source point as it expands.
All the way to a thing update.
Yeah.
Jordans for women.
Jordans for women is a thing.
It's a thing.
It's even more of a thing. You already called it as a thing, to be honest.
I know. Yeah. Well, I guess I kind of did because I was like, these are my... Yeah. They were just my thing then. Little did I know they were a thing.
They're now. Yeah.
And they are. Anyway, I'm very excited. I'm putting a bunch of links in the Discord because I can't stop. I can't get enough of all these Jordans for women.
The other thing that is becoming a thing is people submitting things in our things channel in the Discord.
So
quick update. If you're a patron... Patreon.com/itsathing. You can link your Patreon to Discord. And if you download Discord, it will just show up. There are links. Just search, connect Patreon to Discord on any search engine, and you'll get a link that tells you how to do it if you don't know how to do it already. And we have lots of folks in there giving us some pretty great things. Galactica Boy pointed out that CBD has become a thing recently. Galactica Boy says, I heard about CBD oils and such, but recently I've seen them absolutely everywhere, in every gas station, in gummies, in vape juice, like crazy stuff.
I want to try the tea. I've heard it's remarkable, because CBD is cannabinoid
what
oil.
You said.
It's very hard to say, cannabinoid. But it's basically the extract. And it doesn't get you high.
It doesn't have the THC, right?
It doesn't have the THC, but it is evidently quite relaxing. Like, much like, it's sort of in the category of caffeine. You know, it's just a mild...
A friend of mine was using it as a painkiller for some muscle pain.
Totally. It's a huge thing. And Galactica Boy also is finger on the nose of what's happening in the world right now. Because also says, can we talk about charcoal in beauty products? Yes, we can. And charcoal is... everywhere as a beauty trend. It's supposed to like suck all the toxins out, and then also you can use it in your closet, I guess, according to West Bay Stars in the Discord, and like it's supposed to reduce humidity. Yeah. And there's charcoal face scrub. It's come and gone, but yes, you're right. You're correct.
I'll go look in the closet of Korean beauty products that Eileen has and see how many charcoal. I'll give you a charcoal index next episode.
Please do.
T-Porter 2 pointed out sheet pan dinners, food all cooked in one sheet pan. Single pot. That's last year, folks. Sheet pan.
I got a sheet pan cookbook for Christmas.
Did you really?
Yes. It is such a thing. Like, you completely nailed that. It is everywhere right now. That is hilarious. T. Porter 2 also points out usage of the word galentine to refer to your female friends. This is the first year I have gotten galentine cards.
From your friends?
From my girlfriends, yeah.
So it's sort of like, let's celebrate Valentine's Day without the Valentine's Day part.
Right. Yeah. Like, we'll just appreciate our girlfriends.
It goes back to when you were a kid in elementary school. We'd always give Valentines to our friends, boys and girls. Didn't matter. You'd get those little cheap Valentines from the drugstore, and then you'd pick ones out, and you're like, to Jeff, to Virginia, to whoever, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now just people girlfriend. You thought. There's, and it's a whole thing. I mean, it's been a thing for a couple of years. Like, there's a Galentine's brunch trend, and, you know. But I would say I'm definitely seeing it pick up, and I'm definitely feeling now it's so clever, because what they're trying to get me to do is, like, now I have to buy shit on Valentine's Day, even though I do not bother I'm not dating. I shouldn't have to buy anything, except that
if you're not dating, you could still take your friend out to an overpriced dinner.
All of them. All your friends. Yeah. So annoying.
Yeah. It's funny. A friend of mine wanted to come hang out and we were looking at dates I said, "Oh, Thursdays are good." And he's like, "Well, that's Valentine's Day." I'm like, "Oh yeah. My wife opposes Valentine's Day because of the cost. Because of the price hike." So, yeah.
Yep. You guys, there are as Tom pointed out. I was like, "Who just wrote so many good things in here?" It was Tom. There are so many good things in the Things channel on the Discord. So if you're a patron, join us in the Discord channel. And if you're not, become one so you can join us in the Discord channel, because it's totally worth it.
By the way, what's not a thing anymore are message hearts. I saw a sad little pile of them for sale at the grocery store, and I was like, who buys these anymore?
Oh, well, because they went out of business. Yeah. Don't you know about this?
But somebody's making them still.
Yeah, or maybe I thought it was like Dunkin'. I thought it was Dunkin' Donuts. Who's making knockoffs?
Oh, really?
I don't know. Something like that. And then also, we are getting good things submitted to us on Twitter. Chris.Todd tweeted and said, I think drinking tequila is a new thing, just like whiskey was several years back. It is. It has been. And it is all because of the paleo people. Tequila is like one of the few alcohols that is paleo friendly.
Oh. Yeah. Because why? Because ancient...
It doesn't have any sugar.
Oh, because it doesn't have any sugar. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, because ancient people used to make tequila?
No. But, and it's not made out of a grain.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to... You can just go hunt and gather the things you need for a tequila.
The like agave cactus agave or whatever. Cactus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't but have yeah, to, it's there's no husbandry involved.
Like vodka is sugar free, but is animals. A grain alcohol, right. A grain based alcohol. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so okay. Tequila has become.
You don't have to grow anything. You don't have to farm anything. You just go get the cactus. All right.
I don't think that's what the paleo thing. They don't care about that. It's not a labor thing.
No. There's something to do with the paleo thing about like it can't be things that had to be cultivated, right?
Oh, really?
Because it goes back to before farming. So anything that was changed by cultivation, I thought,
is
was
that why
limits.
They don't eat legumes?
I don't know.
I don't really know. Yeah. I don't follow the whole thing. Weird. But MacGruber-Guyver, you are absolutely right to note that there is an evolution of tequila being a thing, which is mezcal, which is way more popular than it used to be. And I don't understand why, because it is gross.
By the way, a few different people pointed out that the NFL actually had a rise in ratings the past season, although the Super Bowl had a drop. The season as a whole had a rise. So when we were speculating, like, is the NFL really down or is it just me? Mixed signals. We're still getting
mixed signals because there also was. I listened to the Pro Rata podcast from Axios, and they had. I put a link in our show notes. They had an entire episode in which their sports correspondent was like, "Yeah, we had to go looking for storylines when I was in LA because in LA,
yeah,
no one gives a crap about the Rams." And I was
so
like,
"That bared
Tom
out."
Nailed it.
Whether it's just because I'm here or not, mixed signals. But here, definitely, people don't. Yep. Yeah. Not that they don't care, but they definitely don't care as much as you would think.
No, he was like, they don't care. Yeah. He's like, I walked through, you know, the entire Burbank airport all the way out to my parking lot in a Patriots hat. And if I were in Philadelphia last year, I would have been murdered.
They don't care like, enough to care. Yeah, yeah.
No one even looked at me. I'm like, yeah, that's not right. That's not a football town right there.
Definitely not. So, all right. Shout out to Chaz and Mike. If you would like to join them, there is a shout out level for supporting the show at patreon.com/it's a thing. We super appreciate their support and the support of everybody who supports us there. You can also email us. We've got the emails and we get them at feedback@itsathing.me.
We do. I think we even have a story in our email that I should dig up and read. But yes, please keep that coming. And also, just so you know what the deal is with the Patreon levels, at the $5 level, I tweeted some misinformation and said that everybody who's a patron gets bonus content.
Oh.
At the $5 per episode level, you actually get bonus content, which is the pre-show and the post-show where we...
Right.
Talk about all the
everybody gets a custom RSS feed that has no ads in it and then if you go up a level then you get the bonus content.
Yes. Okay, thanks.
Although if you're in the Discord live you can get it's a worker.
Then you totally get it.
If you put in the effort you can get it.
Dave emailed us. Oh, it's our old homie Dave Broadbeck.
Yay!
Emailed us and said, recently I was away for work and staying at a hotel, a Hilton, actually, and went down to the bar and ordered an old fashioned. The bartender seemed really happy because he was just pouring wine and making gin and tonics. And a person looked over and said, oh, what's that? And I replied in my best Don Draper voice, old fashioned. He said, the bartender asked how it was. And I said, Don Draper would be proud of this drink. And then he said, nice. And said, the next one's free. That's quite a compliment.
Wow. Drop a Don Draper reference, get a free drink.
And what's super interesting is that this bartender told him, I want to know what town this was because my area at least is still very high on cocktails. But he said during the run of Mad Men, according to the bartender then sold many, many Manhattans, Gibsons, Gimlets, and so on. But once the show ended, his job got much less fun.
Oh.
I know.
Cocktail culture is receding. We need a new cocktail show.
Not here. Yeah. Not in the Bay Area. I'll tell
no,
you what,
okay. I mean, there's a ton of cocktail places, like fancy cocktail places here too. So
yeah,
it's not
cocktails
gone
for days.
Well, thank you, folks, for joining us. We appreciate it. It'sathing.me is the website, and of course, patreon.com/itsathing. The email address once again: feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.